Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March the 11th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Madrone. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Madrone. I was trying to build up the tension.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not sure it really worked. You're not tense, and I almost fell asleep doing it. So.
Good luck getting me tense.
Yeah. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. Some of these things are just on the cuff. Why do we say something purchased and is charged is on the cuff?
I have no idea.
Because it was once the custom of waiters in public houses to record, to keep a record, rather, of what was ordered on the cuffs of their shirts. For this reason, a diner who wished to have his meal charged would suggest the amount due be put on the cuff also.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right.
On the cuff has a whole new meaning with the coronavirus, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got on the level, on the spot also.
There we go.
Coming up later this week.
Okay. Well, we're always on the level here, aren't we?
Yeah. I'm not going to give away a hint of what that means.
Okay.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of discussion about what the state is going to do, what the feds are doing, what the county is doing, what the cities are doing in association with the virus actually being here. And I, one of the things that I find interesting, and I guess like your comment on it, is how do you normalize what's normal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, present what is rather than speculate what might be or might not be.
Yeah.
When you're looking at some of the press releases that are coming through, and I'm sure making comments also in your own way, how do you keep it between the lines, so to speak, and not embolden those who want to take something and spin it?
Well, there is a lot of hysteria out there, a lot of fear, and a lot of the unknown, you know, and boy, the way the stock market is reacting and a whole lot of other things.
I think that one may have as much to do with the
politics, yeah.
The economics of the oil and the other stuff. Yeah,
absolutely.
But certainly volatility is now norm.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people have been talking about
it. You know, Steve, it was only up 1,100 yesterday.
That's right.
What?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, people have been predicting stuff for a long time, ever since the big recession of 2008. And apparently we've been on a climb longer than we've ever been in our history. So, you know, there has to be resets at different times.
Oh, sure.
That's what's going on, really.
But rumor control versus rumor mongering.
Yeah.
You know, you probably hear that with all kinds of things that come, decisions that are either made at the county or not made at the county, and then all of a sudden you hear about it 3 days later, and they're saying, you did what to who?
Yeah, absolutely.
how do you work with that?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been struggling with how much stuff I should personally be putting out as a district representative to my constituents, but frankly, there's such an overload of information already going out. I'm not sure that me putting out something specifically would inform people any better or just confuse people more, you know. So I have tended to just basically rely on what's coming out, which is pretty extensive, you know. If you're not aware of what's going on or haven't heard the details of how to protect yourself and stay clean and clear, I don't know where you're at. Yeah, it's
the same stuff for the last 25 years, right?
It is, and, you know, really that's exactly what this is a great opportunity to go, oh, good hygiene. How does that look, you know, and really just up the ante on that. And I've been going to a number of state meetings and stuff, and it's interesting to see where the whole issue of, you know, fist pumping or elbow bumping or whatever, all the things other than shaking hands, you know, is happening. I like the Oriental one of the folded hands and just, oh, so, you know, here we are. So
I'm still a high fiver. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, right. It's kind of ruined that, right? No,
the elbows and the fists and all that, you know, I don't do the dance thing.
Yeah.
Too simplistic in my approach.
I hear you. So, yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to watch and see it run its course. Schools are closing down. Lots of things are going on, you know.
Yeah, certainly throughout the country there's some stuff. It's interesting. But let's step back and get away from this one specific.
Sure.
And talk in a broader stroke about some of the things that are I guess, could be the start of a rumor. Let's say a budget cut.
Sure.
That's being contemplated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you got the defense positions. You got those that are pro. Things are, you know, half spoken, and then they start taking on their own life.
That's right.
How do you monitor that kind of stuff so that it doesn't end up turning out to be 5 or 6 times more mm-hmm. work to say nothing rather than to say nothing and let it spiral out of control?
Well, I use KINS Talk Shop. I mean, you know, everybody knows that this is the place to come and find out what's actually happening behind the scenes, right? The rest of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Like to say.
Okay, the 3 weeks in between, smart guy.
Well, you know, I really think it takes an effort on all of our parts to temper, you know, where we go with things and how we pass them on and all that. And Facebook certainly doesn't help. The rumor mill gets going and people, you know, start making accusations and blowing things out of proportion pretty quickly in that arena. I just try to put my head down and get to work every day and go about doing what needs to be done. And if people have questions, I try to answer them.
Does the county or do you have anybody that is kind of in charge of rumor control?
Yeah, well, we have a press release person who handles a lot of our media stuff.
That's a push out.
It is a push
rather
out.
Rather than a respond to.
Yeah, respond to ends up coming to each supervisor and other staff in their own way, and everybody deals with it accordingly. You know, with this particular thing, we're getting updates regularly from our public health officer, and we had a meningitis case in the county as well. That individual died. Sympathies to the family there and all that. So there's a lot going on, and I just, you know, my recommendation is that we all settle down, stay focused, and try not spread rumor, you know, really.
So we'll talk about budget, what may or may not be actual.
There you go.
Yeah.
Budgets and, hey, water's another good issue right now. Where is the water?
Where's the bridge?
Where is the bridge? To nowhere. And where is
the
water?
No, no, no. Where's the bridge for the water to go under? KINS, News and Information Time. Uh-huh. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. See, I can say it without that.
You did.
That build-up.
That's nice.
That
I was tension. A little worried earlier.
Yeah. are you starting to get any of the preliminary budgets yet?
Yes.
From the department heads? Last week, I think Mike Wilson was the fellow here, and he said that you guys were going to be doing either a retreat or the equivalent of that, some long-term planning. And I had asked him, So I'll ask you also. Mm-hmm. If you guys are determining long-term, okay, which presumably is like a year out.
Yeah.
Okay, departments need to know that.
That's
so
right.
They can start the year there. Well, how can they be preparing a budget if they don't know what the target is if you guys are changing the target?
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So I know everything's preliminary and it's workarounds and all that kind of stuff and getting it kind of sort of close.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys done that retreat or scoping session or whatever
coming
you want to call
it? It's our strategic planning.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it is a great chance for the board to all work together and talk about where we're heading and how we get there.
Is that for next fiscal year or is it for the subsequent?
No, it's for the coming year and to set the stage for years further out. But, you know, annually being adjusted, right? And it is important. But really the budget process, this will be my second time around through it. And I was really surprised the first time around how little say I actually had in the budget. I don't know. You get this image. Yeah. You've been elected. Okay, now you're in charge and blah, blah, blah.
Now I'm going to have some juice.
Right. But
whoops.
But in reality,
not much.
Most of the budget is made up of the department heads and the departments coming forward with their budgets for the year, which tend to look a lot like the budgets from the year before. And every now and then some shifts happen because funding sources disappear, change, or come in new. And so that will certainly adjust the program of work. But most of those grants coming in are going directly to those departments to do the important work that they do. So, you know, what we do is we give them a sense of how much they might ask for an increase or a decrease. So last year, the CIO gave department heads direction via the board that they could increase their budgets by 3%. I believe this year that number is 5%. And the point was made that with the cost of living increases and the consumer price index increases and all these other things, that that's gone up 3 or 4%. So having a budget increase of 5% is basically just keeping even, barely above. 3% was a little bit of a loss. So those are the kind of sideboards that are given to departments.
Now, when you get the budgets from the departments, from department heads.
Yeah.
Do they have personnel costs in there, or is that the personnel department, the HR department's responsibility?
No, it comes from the departments.
Okay, so that's incorporated
into... They've got a fair amount of detail. You certainly don't drill down to the individual position.
Oh, sure.
And all the micro detail. So it's an overview. But it does break it down into personnel and all the other various expense categories. So really, you know, I'm left then with this situation where... I'm trusting the department heads know what's going on best in their departments, which they do. I clearly don't know.
They're the expert.
They are, and I know very little. I mean, there's some areas that I'm able to drill down into and think about, offer advice and consideration for how to move forward. For instance, last year, Supervisor Wilson and I met ahead of time before the budget process with the Public Works Department and talked with them about the concept of adding a staff position, new budget item, for a person that would write grants and then manage projects that were funded by grants. Because it was our observation that there was a ton of grant money out there from the federal and state government, which is basically our tax dollars. So let's be really efficient and go after those tax dollars, bring them back home, and fund better road projects, more watershed projects, more park projects, trail projects, and the rest of it. And, you know, it doesn't take a lot of work.
Is that the supervisor's role to do that, or is that the CAO's role?
Well, you know.
Or the soup's through the CAO.
Our role is to establish policy, not to engage in day-to-day operations. But when we, as a supervisor, see an opportunity through policy to implement something in a day-to-day world, like encouraging a department to seek funding for a new position that will literally pay for itself. You know, the cost of that position, including all the benefits, the taxes,
everything. Oh, sure. If you get a grant writer that's good.
Yeah, it's going to add up to 80 to 100 grand a year. But that person's going to be bringing in millions of dollars a year in grant monies. And what you do is, as that person starts developing those grants, each grant has a chunk of money in there for this position. So that eventually the position
Funded. The grants have...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's not in that situation, build a bridge.
Right.
It's for money to build a bridge, but also for somebody to write the grant.
So if you're smart about it, not to write the grant, but to manage the grant, right? So you might have project managers, but also you've got this person that's providing oversight to all the various grant programs, which allows for a better interaction.
Overall, all grants, not that one specific
That's
grant.
Right. And so each of those grants might have a chunk of money in it to help with the position.
Right.
So ultimately, it could be funded in that way, and or you could add additional staff by being successful in that way. So, yeah, where we see opportunity, we're going to meet with departments and encourage them to move forward on things like that.
Informing the CAO along the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't get your chops busted.
That's right.
KIS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back Talking Shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Steve, we keep hearing the surplus at the state. They got all this money, and yet they continue to pump down unfunded mandates or standing behind currently existing unfunded mandates and not providing any of those dollars. When we talk about budget, and you're saying squeeze 3 to 5% in the and the state is sitting on billions.
Yes.
Why aren't there daily attempts at assaulting the Bastille?
Yeah.
it just seems such a radical.
Yeah,
when it comes to money, I tend to get aggressive. It is curious to me that the state is sitting on their pile of change, and yet the counties and the cities and the special districts are being choked off and required to do more.
Absolutely.
And there's no, the governors don't seem to have any hesitation in continuing to do that. Or the assemblies don't hesitate, or the political machine, I mean, whatever the entity is, I'm sure all three are together. It's like they forget about this stuff.
They certainly do. Isn't it convenient? Except when they're in trouble, then they pull from us in a big way. So a great example of that, for instance, and I will say that there's pushback going on every day.
Oh, certainly. You know, let me say
that's not observed.
Restate it then.
Yeah.
Successful.
Certainly.
Okay. Look at the state of the jails. You know, they keep pushing more here, and they haven't built a prison in the state.
Well, that was exactly where I was going to go as an example. For instance, just a few weeks ago, the state came out and said, you know, we're down 50,000 prisoners, so we're thinking of closing some state prisons. So I immediately contacted Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Wood and said, okay, if you're down 50,000 prisoners, rather than closing the prisons, could you please take your prisoners back from the county jails? You know, because that's just killed us, right? I mean, not that I want to put everybody in jail, but as a society,
you want the bad guys versus the bad guys.
Yeah, if you've given people incentives, you tried to help them, you tried to move in the right direction, offer assistance, the rest, but they still don't want it and they want to commit crime. Right now, we have no deterrence for that because the jail is full.
Yeah, no misdemeanors are being processed.
No,
that's goofy.
It's cite and release on the street. And even these really horrendous people with like a laundry list of 50 crimes and convictions, they're still released on bail or even their own recognizance at times. And it just amazes us as a society that can be happening. So
the 50,000 that they're down, Steve, is that 50,000 below that ratio number that the federal judge determined had to be, or is it 50,000 below that figure?
I don't know what the reference is, but what I've heard is it's 50,000 down from recent times in terms of prison populations.
So they may still be struggling to hit their number.
They may be.
The courts. But why not start building prisons? I mean, it just seems...
Well, why not make use of the prisons that are open and take... You know, what happened after AB, 109 and other things is that we as a society voted that, the state was in trouble. And so they were overloaded. And so if you're a prisoner with a sentence of 3 years or less, were you sent to county jails? Because that was sort of the space that was available to the state in the sense. Well, now they've got the space and we don't. So shouldn't they take those prisoners back?
People in our jails are not supposed to be in jails. They're supposed to be in prison.
That's right.
So now you're mixing populations shouldn't be.
That's correct, which creates a lot more problems locally for our correctional officers.
Yeah, across the state,
absolutely.
So, I mean, I guess that's in a microcosm, that's probably a pretty good example of they've got surplus. There's unfunded mandates. They're pushing kicking the can down the road, I think, is the phrase that a lot of people will use.
It is.
And there's no hesitation to do it tomorrow.
Right.
And the next day and next month on other issues.
That's right.
I, 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 I guess I just don't get it. If I was in your spot,
I'd be jumping up and down every day.
I'd be spending a lot of time in Sacramento trying to, and I wouldn't say anything more aggressive than I should, trying to coerce, persuade, and educate these people to what the situation is that their decisions are making at the local level.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and they may know it, but if they're not changing their action at all, who cares if they know it or not?
Well, and there are members of our board and department heads that do spend a lot of time in Sacramento and in D.C. working to try and change things that are happening in that way. For myself, I've been a little less involved in that. And what I'm trying to do is think about what kinds of programs that we can work on here locally that would change things for our community, like expanding the Conservation Corps, something that was a great solution during the 1930s for America. You know, I just came from Yosemite National Park, had a chance to go up there for a conference and see a little bit of the sights. And
that's like a conference in Hawaii.
It is.
Tough duty, dude.
It is, real tough duty. Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, the thing that was wonderful about it was looking at all the works that had been done by Conservation Corps back in the 30s. It still lasts to this day. And you look at the needs we have on public works, on roads, fuel reduction, parks and trails, and so many other things. You know, as we create programs to help people with homelessness or mental health issues or other things going on, great, let's get them into those programs. Let's help them get stabilized. But then what? Where are the jobs? You were talking about that earlier. And, you know, Conservation Corps work is an entry-level position, and it's worked really well before. It gives people housing, helps them build skills and self-esteem, helps a government with dealing with their maintenance on all of their various
assets. Society
gets
something out of it.
You get something out of it, rather than just spending money to put people here or there, whatever, without getting anything back from it. So, you know, and frankly, I think a lot of people want that. They don't want to just be given housing or food. They want to have a life, you know, and how do you get to that place? You know, so I think as supervisors...
So the state has a surplus.
It does.
Yeah, maybe they can start digging foundations for those prisons.
It does.
Or something.
And each of us focus on different areas we're trying to bring forward. Mr. Wilson is very focused on the climate change stuff and working to help bring a lot of that forward.
Now, isn't that in the general plan?
It is in the general plan, but not the micro details. So, you know, we're coming up with an action plan, and then we'll be forming a committee later in the year to help us figure out.
Oh, good. Another committee.
Well, now,
all right.
Now that we have the plan, how do we implement it?
Aren't departments, each individual department, supposed to do that?
I'm sure the departments and their needs and issues will be part of the plan, and they are engaging. County Planning Department is leading the effort on that.
Well, considering how long it took for the general plan.
Well, that had very little to do with the
planning department. We got a little bit of time here on our hands before any decisions are made.
Well, you know, the plan was done in 2012, and we know it was done because both extremes hated it.
Right, right.
And then we punted and reformed the Board of Supervisors and the Planning
Commission.
But that was what?
It started in 87, 88?
Well, the current version didn't start then.
Somewhere around in there.
Yeah, yeah. It was a long time ago.
I remember
before we were born.
I remember making a bet with everybody that it wouldn't be done by the turn of the decade in 2010.
And you won.
All of them are, one is still alive.
Yes.
Everybody else is gone.
Right.
And it's like, tough to collect.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, the concept with water and budget and all of these things, jails, okay, fine, rumor control, okay, fine, they're all interwoven.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get to a point where there's a situation like water that this year might not be an issue, next year is an issue, but you don't know it until you're there.
Right.
Again, information control, not control of information, but presenting facts rather than speculation,
right?
Rather than interpretation, just what the facts are.
Yeah.
Is that tough to come by?
Well, you know, there's always options for and opportunities to make a difference, you know, in a change. So let's talk about water real quick. One of the big new things in the water world is this idea of storage and forbearance. So here we have one of the driest years on record, driest February on record, and with a dry fall, and now March is looking dry. I mean, we're looking at a serious problem with lack of water coming this summer, you know, across the state, some areas worse than others. So what do we do about that? In southern Humboldt, in the Mattole, where I worked for many years, the Sanctuary Forest there started a program working with landowners to collect winter rainwater and forbear from pumping from the creeks in the summer so there'd be water there for the fish, right? Makes sense. Well, last year, the state of California passed a new law that says that when you install water storage facilities on your property, we're not going to tax that as a property improvement. So that's an incentive that encourages people to put in water storage. City of Trinidad gets its water from Lufanolts Creek. There's a big hotel being proposed up there that needs water. The community is wondering whether or not they should provide that or provide water to Patrick's Point Drive, to the visitor serving facilities on the north end of town. Yeah, which actually in their local coastal plan requires them to do that. So being innovative about water storage is an important thing.
Drink up, lad.
Yes.
See everybody tomorrow.